this is a story how I found my real first job.
Yay.
Be prepared. No, well.
I thought you were gonna say this is the story when I found my real first love, and then it's like, okay.
I think it was from last week.
Because this is like, this is.
No, actually. Yeah, well.
She hasn't found it yet. So.
That's exactly. But the funniest is how I found my job. So it was the summer after my first bachelor year. I was so eager to become a programmer. All my parents were also very eager me to become a programmer, not a product manager, like person who is writing code. And then my father told me, like, hey, Anna, like, I have one person who are hiring, like, some interns. Do you want to work? And it was, like, in another city in Ukraine. And I said, yeah, why not? Like, I'm easy going. Let's do it, whatever. And then I went to that internship. Like, I am, like, 70 years or 18 years, like, young girl, blonde hair, curly hair, I don't care.
Yeah,
they're giving me some tasks, and I'm kind of, like, struggling. And then they're introducing my mentor. And this mentor is, like, this boy in flip-flops in the office with, like, these, you know, shorts that look like you're swimming in them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's, like, walking to me, like, shoo, shoo, shoo. He's, like, hey, I'm Roman, or like whatever his name was. Like, hey, okay, yeah, tell me if you have any questions, bye. And I'm like, okay, well, that was arrogant, but whatever. And then I'm asking him some questions, and he's like, oh yeah, give me a second, I will send you the link. Mm-hmm. And he's sending me link to Google, which was very nice of him. And again, I had two choices, to laugh it through and Google, or to be offended and be scared, be out. And yeah. I wasn't, as you can see. Mm-hmm. Then in years, I found that I finished that internship. I actually started working there IT as a customer manager, then as project manager. I went to United States for work and travel program. And then, like, in years, we chatted, and he's like, oh, you're searching for a job. I'm like, I'm not, but I'm actually not a front end developer. I'm working as a project manager. He said, well, we are looking for project managers as well. Can you send an email? I'm like, okay, sure. I sent an email, and then they had like a open position, and I ended up working in that company. And it was like my first mind blowing experience. I'm still chatting with all their co-founders, founders, with my manager. They're amazing. But again, like the whole story in the beginning, how I was like treated by that mentor, and how I actually struggled with programming, thinking maybe at that point that, well, how I'm gonna benefit from it, this is so shit, like I don't like it, blah blah blah. I was really struggling. I actually remember, like, I'm usually a person who's saying yes, but at that summer I was saying no to every single situation when people were asking me out, because I was writing that code. And the most, like, the epic part of all this story of me being a front-end developer is that I went to the seaside with my father's family, and we were like resting in Ukrainian seaside. And then we are coming back home from the beach, and we're seeing that our house is open. And we're like, what the heck? Who forgot to close it? And like, no, I closed it. And then I figure out that my laptop is stolen. Oh. And I had all my codes, all my web pages that I was programming, not in the Google Drive, not in the GitHub, not in any cloud-based solution. Wow. I had it in my laptop.
Oh my god.
And it was like, so like, I was so down, but then I actually treat it as a joke and as a sign not to be a front-end developer if I'm struggling so much.
Yeah.
And it was like a really great sign of the universe to actually go on with the things that I'm more passionate about. So yeah, that was my second funny story.
It sounds
wow. Yeah, I can imagine. It's like everything you have is being stolen, because your laptop is like you have everything there, like your virtual documents, and also, as you said, your code was there too. And so it's like you have to start from fresh or not start at all. So
it was really fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I can go next. And in the same traditions that she mentioned something a bit serious of her life, and I can do the same. That so I was doing my exchange program in Germany. So I did two semesters there. It was my last year. And just a background that I was studying mechanical engineering back then. And so how in India it works is like in the last year of your engineering, companies come to the university, and then they have career fairs or they have interviews, and then they take people for the jobs. But anyway, I was not there. I was in Germany. And when I was spending my second semester, I eventually found a job. Back then, I was designing stuff. So I was doing 3D printing, 3D scanning. And I ended up with a traineeship with a company that was designing planes for Airbus. So it was a quite a big opportunity. And that was in Hamburg. And Hamburg is also like a place where Airbus makes its planes. And that company was a third party who actually designs the plane for Airbus. So it was indirectly doing like the main tasks. And I was quite happy that I will graduate. Then they accepted me as well and everything was okay. So it was just 1 week that I had to join. So it was Monday that I had to join the company and I had to start my job and so on. And my life was quite planned back then. I was like, okay, so I have this job in Airbus. In 1 year, I'll be a senior designer and later I'll be designing the bigger plane and so on and so forth. I'll stay in Germany forever.
Yeah.
But as you can see already that it didn't happen. So just 1 week back of joining the job, my residence permit was expiring, which was a study permit. And back then, the people in the government, they said like, don't worry, we will convert the study permit into work permit and you will have no issues. Just give us the degree when you're done. And I went to India, I collected my degree. So I came back 14th of August and it was middle of August. I came back with a degree and then I sent them. And then my starting date was 1st of September. So I think on 24 or 25 of August, I received an email from Hamburg. I was in Berlin, I think, at that moment. I was traveling and I received an email and it says like, sorry, we can't extend your work permit anymore. You have to go back to India. And I'm like, what? And then I went, because I was in Berlin, I was already going back home. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go Hamburg and fix this thing. And then I went there and I asked the guy, what the fudge is this? I mean, a month ago, you said there's going to be no problem. You're just going to convert everything. And then they said, yeah, but the rule says you need to have a German degree, but your degree is from India. They thought my degree was from Germany. Anyway, so basically their idea was they told me to go back to India, apply in the embassy of Germany, and then they will approve it, and then I can come here. And then I told them, just do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want with me there. And Germans being Germans, so bureaucracy sucks. And yeah, so I think in that instant, when I came back from that Stadthaus, Rathaus, so it's the city government place, I think all of my life was just like, so there was a glass which was just broken that... I had all my life story there. Like I will be working there. I'll be doing this and that and engineering and stuff. And boom.
Yeah, you were planning.
So I think that was a moment. Then it was on me. What should I do? So option one, I should be depressed, stressed. Option two, don't care. I don't have curly hair, but... I chose the second one. I called my parents. I called my father, like, this happened. And it was more embarrassing because I just came back from India. And I told them, I'm going to not see you again. Then I called them, like, probably I will see you again next week. I have to come back. But my parents are, were quite supportive. They understood, like, no, they were actually more worried than myself. Like, I laughed it off, like, it's fine, whatever happened. And then, coming back home, they just said come back home and if you booked the ticket, I came back home. And in whole of the experience, so the 1 year, so I was back in India, I was jobless, I was graduated, I had no life plan. But then a good thing was I had my dog there and then my mother was there. Yeah. I was spending time with my family and I think that accidental gap year I had was the greatest thing ever. And like the time I spent, it was quite quality. Like I did a lot of traveling. I did a lot of discovering myself. And I think it wouldn't have been possible if I would have been too negative about it. But for me, when this thing happened, when even this glass broke down, I smiled. I said, okay, this can happen, you know? So I just accepted the fact that, cool. I guess I'm not going to stay here. And proudly in 1 week, I was back home. Okay, I'm here now. Let's do this. Let's do that. I think that was one of the turning points in my life, and which I take it as a happy moment. I don't take it as a sad moment. So I think that's how I can read life is a joke, you know. A joke happened to me, but I decided to laugh.
Yeah, it's the it's a, it, of, at the end of the day, it's all about the attitude.
Exactly.
Really, as you said, you could have been depressed and joined the dark side, or
there have been several issues. I would be like very sad, like I will not find anything else. I will be what will I do later? But for me, I didn't care anymore. I was like, yeah, this happened, and at that moment, I just understood the point that anything can happen, really. So that was an eye opener.
That's when you became enlightened. That's when you
thanks to the German government.
German government enlightening people since 1900s.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's really about the attitude. In that kind of context, I think for me, I also had similar situations, mm-hmm. similar stories. And I think one of them that really comes to my mind is that, like, I had when I was in US as an exchange student for a year. After I finished my exchange year, I actually applied to some universities in US, like Cornell, and there was some other universities, like good universities basically. And you know, I managed to get in because I did SAT exam and I did ACT exam, so all the exams that you do after high school to be able to go into the college or the university. And I did manage to get in, but then it was the financial crisis, the 2008. And you know, all of the universities were like, sorry, we do not have any money to be able to you know, get students on board with a scholarship. So unless you have $20,000 a year, we cannot accept you. We literally have no, we just can't. So, and then I had to go back to Azerbaijan because I was really hoping that I could stay and, you know, get, you know, US education, my bachelor's degree. And instead I ended up doing bachelor's degree in hospitality. And at the end of the day, you realize that there are certain things in your life that you just don't have control over, and there's no point of worrying about them. At the end of the day, it is a chaotic flow, and you just have to make sense as much as possible for yourself, and partially also, or fully maybe,
I think it's just the acceptance you accept things as they are, because they are. I mean, you can't change everything, but you can change yourself.
But also, we sort of think that, like, those opportunities that were failed, this is our last chance. But actually not, because we sometimes sort of constrict of the perception of the world in the way how we perceive it, how our family perceive it, how our surroundings perceive it. But there is a thing, like, there are so many different outcomes, different perspectives, and different views on the single thing. So maybe those things that we're actually ending up is not even worse than our original plan. But like, for example, for myself, I usually have plan A, B, and C, D, E, whatever. I have so many different outcomes in my head. And that's why when plan A fail, I'm kind of not sad, because I have plan B. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to proceed with that.
And then all plans go away and the situation happens when you don't have a plan.
Yeah.
No, actually, it never happens.
Oh.
Yeah, what happens if all your plans fail? That's also a possibility.
Yeah, that's also, but never had it, to be honest.
Interesting. For me, generally happens the same way, that even if I plan everything, I expect everything to happen, but always the thing that happens is I never expected that. So that keeps me going.
Yeah. I think it also, I don't know, maybe it has to do with your personality to a certain extent as well. I think it's, I don't want to sort of bring it into the whole, you know, the universe.
Not yet.
Speak to us and... what was the book? I forgot. The Secret. I don't want to bring in the whole secret. You know, if you want it from the universe. Yes, just imagine a house and it will happen. But sometimes, maybe it's also, I mean, your attitude really defines it, mm-hmm. quite a few things, I would say.
Another quote. I think it's also original. It just says like, it's never too early, and it's also never too late. It's always on time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So if it hasn't happened, that's not the time yet.
If it hasn't happened, that means that's not the time yet. Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there will
Yeah,
ever be a time
maybe.
for it. There might
Yeah,
never be
because
a time for
it's
it.
uncertainty, as you said. We don't even know how long we live. So,
Yeah.
I mean, you never know what's the time it is. But whenever things happen, they happen on a time that you don't know.
True, but you know the interesting thing is that, like, maybe on an individual basis we can discuss, we can sort of accept this and talk about this like this, but as a society, as a group of people, we cannot exist like this, you know. And the reason why I'm saying is because a lot of the inventions, a lot of the things that we have around us,
Like
like for
gravity.
example, now we have houses that gravity, well, gravity no, gravity is out of our control, but like for example, houses, right? Houses, roads, cars. I mean, as a group of people, as let's say humans in general, we are trying to control things because certainty is what our brain likes. Certainty makes us prosper, you know? So that's why, to a certain level, we, on an individual basis, we can talk about these things like being zen and being sort of accepting uncertainty and sort of going with the flow. But we can't necessarily do it as a society. We can't say, okay, let it be earthquake. You know, it's uncertain. Let it be an earthquake. Let there be, I don't know, rockets and missiles coming over their house. What can we do? Let it be. But we can't do it. We don't do it. So as a society, we actually build our lives around the desire to make things certain. Like, for example, just even looking at, like, for example, you do data analysis, right? And you know, potentially data science. Like there, you have everyone's trying to build prediction models. We're trying to predict the future. We're trying to do all this, like understand the future. We are always trying to bring structure to our lives, certainty. Whereas inherently, our existence is uncertain. It is chaotic. It has no structure whatsoever, unless you believe certain individual books. But yeah, so that's
Yeah,
why
okay.
it's a bit
I
this,
understand your
you know, I don't
point.
know,
I
this
understand
paradox
that
of.
you want to say that even though when we say everything is uncertain, but our whole of the society works in a way that we want to make things certain.
Our
Yeah.
actions are towards making our lives more certain, though maybe our thoughts or our sort of attitudes are not like that, but our actions as a society is towards that. Having countries, having armies, having schools, having education, all this is towards the fact that we want to control our life a bit more. We want to sort of increase our chances of survival, because if we just sort of accept uncertainty in our life as is, as societies, not as individuals, but as societies, then we risk just, you know, potentially annihilating ourselves. I mean, we will to a certain degree, but it will be our own fault,
Eventually, there will be a
not
time for it,
the
so it's not
not
the
the
time yet.
universe. Yeah.
Yeah, I
It's
think
not the
we
time yet.
have
That's true. Yeah.
diverted from our topic.
No, but it has to do with our topic as well. And for me, there's always this paradox of, you know, yeah, we accept uncertainty on an individual level. We think life, you know, is not serious, or like it shouldn't be taken seriously. But yeah, funny enough, then is that our actions are kind of, you
Going
know,
towards the certainty.
geared towards making a difference.
I'm kind of curious, like in 10 years, how society are gonna treat COVID situation. I think we're gonna look in the back and say, like, what the heck just happened? But like, to me, honestly, I think that from now on, our reality is gonna be a bit different.
So the post-corona world.
Like it's not gonna be the
Yeah.
same as everyone is looking for. Like, I'm hearing from my friends, I hope is everything's gonna be back, but I honestly think that it's not gonna be the same fully. Like, at least it's not gonna be the same fully, the same everywhere in every single countries. Maybe some countries will
I agree.
manage to bring it back, but some countries won't. So like, globally, the world is not going to be the same, but people are still hoping and still thinking that they're going to be the same, which I think is not that good approach, because they sort of are like trying and making wrong expectations that not going to be true probably, and then they're going to be disappointed in the end. But why you should even think that it's going to be the same if you just can like treat it as a joke and like following the flow and sort of like find other opportunities to live life now to the
I know,
fullest.
but as Kamran mentioned, like we are all being striving towards certainty, and certainty also means balance. And when we talk about the fourth,
As a
as a
society,
society,
as a
we
group,
want to be in
yeah, as a
balance. And
group.
our mindset and perspective of balance is just the way it was before. So we would always strive it to be pre-corona, but we also don't know how it will be. But I think many governments and I think everyone would is trying to make it the same as it was before.
Yeah, because that's what we know best. That's what where we know how to like live and prosper and work best. But in these new conditions, like corona is a very good example that you brought, Anna, that like it's a representation of uncertainty, because we don't know much about the virus, but now we're trying to learn more about it. And inherently, at the end of the day, the goal is to increase our chances of survival, because if we don't learn about it, if we don't try to control it, or don't try to make it predictable, then it will end up killing, us. So I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I would argue that too, but
So time for a third story.
Yeah, it is. Well,
yeah.
It was a year ago in summer. Like all my period before Estonia was so fucking hectic, guys. Like you can't even imagine.
I thought you were hectic now.
Well, maybe this is just like being hectic is my mode, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I think now I'm not hectic comparing to that one. But basically, things were escalating, like in every single step. Like I was applying to visa and things got escalated because I filling the wrong application. I went to the embassy and then I needed to refill it within 15 minutes because the embassy was closing. I ran out of the office and there was like those people who are selling their service to fill in an application, and like, okay, I'm ready to pay whatever money, just do it. Because before that I ran to McDonald's and my computer went off, so I couldn't fill in the application, and I was in such a hustle. But in the end I received the visa to Estonia, so everything is perfect. Another story is that I had a farewell party in Kyiv where I invited every person that I know from like 4 years of my living in Kyiv, and there were like a bunch of people, and it was combined with my birthday, so it was like a lot of gifts, a lot of flowers and stuff like that. But I'm realizing that I forgot my phone charger.
Yeah.
And I was staying and I forgot it at work, and I have to be at work tomorrow morning. And I'm staying at my relative's house, and all my relatives are actually on seaside.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no one to wake me up in the morning. Luckily, I had my laptop, and I arrived home at 4 a.m. and I needed to wake up at 6.
Yeah.
So which is like means 2 hours of sleep. And I'm like, damn, what should I do? And then I like put an alarm on my laptop. And it rang and I woke up and everything is fine. But then in a few days, I was traveling for my vacation to Italy before going to here. I spent 10 days in Italy hanging out with my friends. And then I spent the rest of the time in my native town. And I was traveling to Italy and I was so sure that I'm flying from the Borispol airport. Mm-hmm. And Borispol airport is like in the city close by to Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
But then like in the morning, it was like departure was at 4 a.m. And I arrived in the airport at 2 a.m. And I'm looking at the board and there's no my flight. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I'm why is it not, this flight is not here? He's like, because you're flying from a different airport.
Oh.
And this is like 45 minutes for taxi. And I'm like, driving, like going to the taxi, and I'm like, dude, can you be fast? And he's like, no, I can't,
legally be fast.
I can't do that. And I'm like, please, I'm in a rush. This is morning. There are no cops on the roads. And he said, no, I can't, but you will make it on time. And I'm like crying to the airport and flying to the Italy. And I'm like, whew. Okay, good. I'm in Italy. I'm spending an amazing vacation with two of my friends in Italy. We're also going to meet another friend in Malta. Mm-hmm. And then there is a departure time.
Yeah.
And my friend is living in Palermo and he's saying, we will leave like 1 hour before the departure because the airport is like next road, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we are going, and his mom, like in the end, she's like, okay, let's make a picture. Okay, this is a gift for you. Okay. And we are like leaving 45 minutes before their flight. And then we are in the huge traffic jam.
Oh my.
And I'm like, my hands are shaking.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
My friend is calling Ryanair asking if you can reschedule the flight.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm calling my mom saying, can you please send me money from my another account so that I can buy another ticket? Because I already checked the price.
Yeah,
it's like 300 and I don't have that money anymore in my account because I eat everything through in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And then we are like finding another way to go there. It's still traffic jam, but we are arriving. And I'm arriving in the airport at 1 57, mm-hmm. and my departure was supposed to be at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running through the security gate because wow. I was already checking because I had a backpack, and I'm running through, and I'm like, and I'm seeing a huge line that I was going to sit into their plane, and I'm like, thanks,
this is
so tough. My mom is already probably drinking Varilianka because she's probably very stressed out about the fact that I'm late. I'm kind of also stressed out. My friends are stressed out. I even didn't manage to hug my friends. I said, okay, guys, bye. And I just ran away. But at this moment, at those moments, you're just realizing that, like, yeah, they're like, again, there are different attitudes to treat those situations. You can be stressed, you can be very frustrated, or you can like look into things critically and find different ways to...
And be motivated. I think motivation is part of it. Like if you're motivated to find a solution.
Yeah. I agree. So I think...
Yeah. But thanks to Ryanair, I guess, because they're shitty scheduling, I guess, because that's... Being the flight being late, because then you the queue was basically because the plane was late, right? I'm guessing.
And in Italy, everything is like just like people are not in the rush, whatever. They're just like, okay.
Ah, yes, that's right.
We will just slowly go to the...
Don't say no more. Okay, just say Italy. Yeah. I understood everything.
That's
interesting. Yeah, Rahul,
I think the first one was worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one was...
I don't know, I want to spend...
Rahul?
I had a story, but I would like to spend the time I have on maybe something I wanted to talk that we have it on daily life, like the meme culture. Like in our... As you mentioned, like this corona situation that we all had, and nobody of us had lived in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And now we have lived it through a bit, like the peak time of pandemic was I think April and May in Europe at least, and it was quite interesting how people had the experience and how did they cope up with the situation, because then you couldn't get out of your house, you're kind of stuck. But I think there were several perspectives, and I had several friends who I talked to that I don't talk anymore. I just talked to them in that that period. But I just wanted to talk that the memes that we have, and it's a very internet culture to have memes about everything. And somehow when you have memes, then you just realize that everything is kind of relatable, that you are unique, but you're as unique as another person. And so you are also just feeling the same as another person. And I think having this like a stranger vibe that you're not strangers, of course you... For example, if there's a meme and you see that, it's quite relatable, then you feel like you're more inclusive. And some memes are quite funny, and then you're like, I've been in that situation, and it really applies there. So I think in this internet culture, memes really play a big part in just thinking of life as a joke, because I think memes, they say life is a joke by themselves. Would you agree?
Yeah, that helps us to deal with the situations. I mean, if you look at serious things as, like, for example, people dying, for example, or death of an individual, let's say. I remember, again, I'll bring an example of Ricky Gervais, that he was telling about his mom's, his parents' death, and the ceremony that they had, like, it was full of joy, and people were laughing, and people were making jokes, and people were like, you know, so they were really spending the last minutes with their deceased family members, with joy and with laughter. And so at the end of the day, if you can actually do that, then there's nothing in life you cannot cope with. And so that kind of, you know, approach to things, it just makes your life easier. You go
when I bring up this meme culture, I think it just builds up a community with non-community. I mean, even if you don't know anyone on the internet, and probably you don't, but you still feel like, they feel the same thing, and share this emotion.
Yeah.
There are, of course, many news that are polarizing, but memes are usually making fun of everything, and they have no limits. So, yeah, I think people should follow me.
Yeah,
my kind of, not a story, but
So today we talked about life being a joke, and then we also shared different stories where in which in these situations we looked back and we said, you know, it doesn't matter, and we didn't take it as seriously, and sort of we went with the flow. And today we also had a special guest, Anna, and I would like to thank her for joining the podcast and sharing her stories as well. I
Yeah,
personally enjoyed
I
it.
enjoyed her
What about
as
you,
well.
Rahul?
Looking forward to hear her stories more off podcast.
Yes, and especially because Rahul and Anna are actually recording from the same location, and they have a mango to share, but I don't have one. But still, I
Yeah.
look at life as is. It's
Maybe you
okay
want
not
to
to
buy a
have a
mango.
mango. But yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, maybe I want to buy a
Oh,
mango.
that was
Well,
sad.
it's raining, so I can't really go anywhere. But yeah, but thank you so much, Anna, for joining the podcast, and maybe you have some closing
Yeah, thank you
remarks as
for
well, and
having me
then we can
here.
wrap
It was a pleasure, and I also feel like this vibe and inspiration talking through those kind of things, and I hope people who are gonna listen are gonna love it through the same heartedly as I am. And also, if something similar will happen to them in their life, they're gonna treat it easier. So I wish everyone to treat life easier and take it easier and don't care. That's what my mom actually said to me. Why are you
Yeah.
even caring? Just
Yeah.
be chill, be
Yeah.
relaxed. So guys, be chill, be relaxed, smile, and just live the life with a smile on your face.
Okay,
Yeah, I
Rahul,
was
you
just
wrap it up as well.
just wrapping up. It's the same thing that treat life as a joke, because things are gonna pass, even the good or the bad ones, and the time it will pass. So live your life to the fullest and enjoy what you like to do, and I think you will have fun doing it. So what about you, Kamran?
I fully agree with both of you. I fully agree with both of you. I don't have much to say, and I think you guys said
Gross.
you said
Great.
it all.
Awesome.
Yeah. Take it easy. And there was also a meme. What was
Keep
it?
calm and
Keep
carry
happy?
on.
No. Keep calm. Yeah. And carry on. Yeah. Keep calm and carry on. And then they made different versions of that meme, but basically all of them say the same thing. Yeah. Take it easy. And yeah, thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you guys, and thank you, Anna, again for joining as a special guest. And thank you, Rahul, for
And you're always welcome again.
inviting Anna
So
to the podcast.
I'm
And
always happy to be here again.
thank you guys for listening to the
And I have to
podcast.
stay in
And
the
we hope
US.
that
Have a
you
nice
enjoyed
one.
it. And
Yeah.
please reach out to us if you have
Have a nice one.
any. Have a nice one, yeah. And if you have any questions, or if you have any feedback, you know where to find us. And until next
Ciao.
time,